Case versus Brown, Mr. Hansmeier.
May it please the court, counsel, Dan Hansmeier on behalf of the appellant, Calvin Brown. We've raised three issues. The first issue is everybody's favorite, the Fair Sentencing Act. I'm not going to talk about it, but I would note, I think I did my math wrong on the Fair Sentencing Act guidelines calculations. I think they're actually lower. I think he bottoms out at 168, not 210, which makes this appeal even more important. And then other than that, if this court, if any of your honors would want to go on record letting the Supreme Court know they should grant this as soon as possible, I think everyone would appreciate it.
Speak louder, I can't hear you.
And I just giving this court an opportunity to go on record asking the Supreme
vote.
Court.
A 5-5 vote on right. Denial of rehearing in bank is a pretty clear record, isn't it?
It is. Just throwing that out there. Other than that, on the second issue,
I mean, we could of course overrule Fisher, and the court couldn't do anything about it because the 5-5 split. But then, of course, the next time there's a panel slightly differently composed, our opinion would be overruled.
Very true.
So I think we're stuck, right?
I think that way lies madness, and not anything we'd recognize as law. So.
The second issue, sort of a roundabout way to get around Fisher, utilizing Taylor's limited remand procedure, if this panel is so inclined, to ask the district court if it wishes to resentence Mr. Brown in light of the disparity in the guidelines. That's a procedure this court can do, even in career offender cases. That's United States v. Corner. So, you know, we would ask this court to do that. The attorney below didn't argue the disparity. I don't know why. So technically, we're asking this court sort of to consider an argument that wasn't raised below. I don't really think we're supposed to do that, but in light of the extraordinary circumstances, that's one practical way that Mr. Brown could actually possibly get relief and prevent much more litigation. So we would ask the court to do that. The third issue, the judge imposed a mandatory minimum fine when there is no mandatory minimum fine. That is error under any standard of review. It's our position that review is de novo because PSR recommended no fine. Government agreed with that. The court said nothing until it imposed the fine. There was no opportunity to object. Plain language of the rules doesn't require an objection to an exception. Under de novo review, it has to go back. But even under plain air review, clearly this court's precedent makes clear that errors in an advisory guidelines scheme require resentencing. That logic would certainly apply.
Hansmeier, could I just ask you about your discussion? You're relying on Bartlett for the argument that no exception was needed, no objection was needed. But that case says that, in essence, if you get surprised by something the judge does, then you need to raise it then. At least that's the way I understood the decision. If you've argued it, the judge rejects your position, you don't have to take an exception.
True.
But if the judge surprises you, and usually people don't care that much about the fines in the vast majority of cases, isn't there an obligation to raise the issue then?
I mean, I don't think so. Under the plain language of Rule 51 A and B, I do not think so. I think what the rule says is that once an exception or once a ruling is made, there is no need to object to it, and I think that's what the rule says. And I think that as a practical matter, that makes sense because it's a little difficult to object to something a court has just done. And I think it puts you in a really bad position say, Judge, you just did that and it's wrong, as opposed to, here's the issue, this is our position, this is their position.
Judge, well, surely no easier to take an appeal.
Oh, that's true. Very true. Yeah. But it's just our reading of the rule that it's de novo review. But like I said, even under plain error review, it is plain error. If there aren't any questions, thank you.
Mr. Norwood?
Your Honors, may it please the Court, my name is George Norwood. Judge Hamilton, I believe you're correct and your reading of Bartlett is correct. In that case, the defense attorney made an argument for a certain sentence and the judge issued a different sentence. And this Court said that in those circumstances, you don't need to make another objection to the judge's rulings.
In this situation, Mr. Norwood, why doesn't the assistant U.S. attorney stand up and say, Judge, I believe you misspoke? When you referred to a mandatory minimum fine.
Be very candid, Your Honor. I probably didn't hear it. I mean, he's going through all the conditions of supervised release and the fine, and he might have
said mandatory minimum fine before.
I just missed it, Your Honor. The government believes that, first of all, the question is, there is error, but whether it is plain error such that it affects the proceedings requiring remand, it amounts to about $3 per month. He's in prison. That'll come out of his wages and even less than that while he's on supervised release. But if this court does choose to remand, it's a limited remand just so this court can be sure that Judge Murphy understood that it was not a mandatory minimum amount, but rather it was a fine he chose at his discretion that was a proper amount. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Norman. And thank you, Mr. Hansmeier. So we thank the defenders for handling this case.